You guys, welcome back to Macabre America. I am happy to be back, let me tell you. It has been a minute. I've been kind of on a sabbatical of sorts, getting married, going on my honeymoon, planning for the wedding. But now I'm back and I'm ready to tell you guys some great stories again. Hopefully, I can get back into a rhythm where we're posting episodes once every week, once every 2 weeks, something like that. I haven't figured it out, but cannot wait to share some cool stories with you guys. So, to start us off and to celebrate Halloween, we are going to talk about Alcatraz. If you don't know what Alcatraz is, that's okay. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty. It's going to be a lot of history, storytelling, and a little bit of ghost stories. So, we're kind of going to get a little bit of everything today. My trigger warnings for today are that this story does involve true crime. Some of it does involve murder. So I think that's about it. I think we can go ahead and get started. Let's get spooky. This is the story of Alcatraz. Okay, so to get us started, I'm going to start from the very beginning when Alcatraz was discovered, even, and then created into what many people know today as one of the most haunted locations in the world. I think one of the officially most haunted places in America, and probably the most well-known haunted prison in the world. Alcatraz is located on an island in the San Francisco Bay, so we're going way over to the West Coast this time. It was discovered and mapped by a Spanish explorer named Juan Manuel de Ayala. I totally probably said that wrong, so apologies, but our guy Juan discovered the island in 1775. He named it La Isla de los Alcatraces. I think I'm saying that right again. Okay, so I didn't take Spanish when I was in college. I took French all throughout high school. I even took French in college. So my Spanish is really bad, you guys. Please don't judge me. But what that name means is the Island of the Pelicans, because guess what? It was covered in them. There were birds everywhere. It wasn't until 1850 that it was declared by the president at the time, Millard Fillmore, which I have never heard of this guy. I'm pretty sure I probably learned about him in elementary school, but I was like, was he actually a president? He definitely was. President Fillmore said the island at that point would serve for military use. And then that is when the fortress known as Alcatraz today was constructed. In constructing this fortress, they also built over 100 cannons that were used to protect San Francisco Bay. And actually, the very first operational lighthouse on the west side of America was built there. So that was a fun fact that I didn't know about until I started doing some research. Military prisoners started filling the island in the late 1850s, and they included Confederate sympathizers and citizens accused of treason during the American Civil War. And the count of these prisoners continued to rise during the Spanish-American War of 1898. In the early 1900s, these prisoners were put to work, and they were the ones that had to construct a brand new cell house, which is the 600-cell structure that still stands today on the island. In addition to that, they built a hospital, a mess hall, and other buildings that would serve the prison. The National Park Service states that the new complex was completed in 1912, and at that time was the world's largest reinforced concrete building in the world, which is pretty insane. So Alcatraz served as a military prison all the way up until 1933. During the year of 1934, that is when the prison changed to be a federal prison. And those years of operation went from 1934 to 1963. It served at that point as a maximum security prison that housed some of the most dangerous and difficult felons. At Alcatraz, these crazy super violent, angry prisoners were meant to, quote, learn how to follow the rules. And if they did, they would have the chance to serve out their sentence at another federal prison. So basically, if you were a really terrible person and you couldn't get your shit together, they were shipping you off to Alcatraz to really show you, like, hey, your life could suck way worse than it sucks in our prison. If you can improve yourself, you might have a chance of getting out. But if you're really just going to be a terrible person and not get better, you're pretty much going to be stuck on this rock. So during its years of operation, it housed about 1,500 prisoners, and you may have heard of some of the names of them. So I'm going to just walk through real quick on some of the names of these prisoners. And we're not going to go into super detail on a lot of these people. I might cover them in future episodes, but the focus of today is going to be on the prison itself. So we'll just do a quick little overview. One of the most well-known prisoners out there was Al Capone. He stayed there for about 4.5 years. After that, I think he was able to go to another prison. He did not die in Alcatraz, as many people, at least that's what I thought when I was going and doing research. He only stayed there for a short amount of time, but that was said to be the hardest prison sentence that he ever had to serve. George Machine Gun Kelly served 17 years at Alcatraz on a kidnapping conviction. Then there was Alvin Creepy Karpis, Karpowicz, I think I said that right. He was actually known as being public enemy number one in the 1930s. He spent over 25 years behind bars at Alcatraz when it was a federal prison. And that is reportedly known as the longest period that any prisoner ever spent there. So this guy must have been real crazy if he went on this island and didn't leave for 25 whole years. Lastly, there was Robert Birdman of Alcatraz Stroud. He was transferred there after spending 30 years at Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary in Kansas, and he served 17 additional years at the prison on Alcatraz. He had the nickname of being called the Birdman because when he was at Leavenworth, he got to keep birds, which was really fascinating. I don't really know how that worked while he was in prison, but he was known to be just kind of like a psychotic guy. And yeah, I guess he had some pet birds, but unfortunately, during his time at Alcatraz, they did not allow him to have birds any longer. Regardless, he was known as the Birdman. In total, 28 people died inside of the prison. 8 of them died because of murder. The prison closed in 1963 due to high operation costs and was occupied shortly for almost 2 years, starting in 1969 by a group of Native American activists, but they didn't stay there for very long. Now, Alcatraz serves as a popular tourist destination for people from around the world and is named one of the most haunted locations in America, as I mentioned earlier. Countless TV shows have been filmed at Alcatraz, including my favorite, Ghost Adventures, and they've had multiple episodes there, so for sure check those out. The Dead Files, which is actually one I'm going to get into today, Codes and Conspiracies, Great Escapes with Morgan Freeman, and even Mythbusters. So yes, you were probably wondering, if you haven't already heard, were there any escapes or escape attempts of Alcatraz with it being an island and having these prisoners that are just insane? The answer, my friends, is yes. However, nobody successfully escaped the prison. There were 14 total attempts that had been made, and it involved a total of 36 inmates. So a lot of the time it was these people that were like, hey dude, let's get together, band together, and get out of here. Unfortunately, none of them were very lucky. The most famous escape attempt happened on May 4th, 1946. 6 prisoners overpowered their cellhouse officers and were able to gain access to weapons, but not the keys, in order to get out of their cellhouse. A battle ensued, and 2 correctional officers lost their lives. In addition, 3 inmates lost their lives, and 18 others were injured. The battle ended once the U.S. Marines were called in, and 3 of the 6 attempted escapees were killed, while the other three were sent to trial for their actions. Two of them were sentenced to death. Another attempt, which was actually the attempt I had heard about, and I thought this one was the most famous, but according to all of my research, I don't think it was. Another attempt was made in 1962 by four guys, John Anglin, Clarence Anglin, so they were brothers, Frank Morris, and Alan Clayton West. They spent months preparing for this escape. They fashioned crude electric drills and other tools that they were able to steal, like items they stole from other areas of the prison, like in the kitchen. They made holes in their cell walls and they made corridors behind their walls. Their plan was to put these fake heads that they crafted in their beds to make it appear like they were still in there and sleeping. And then in the night, they were going to escape the prison and get into rafts that they made out of raincoats, which is really fascinating because I don't see how that would work at all. They did actually make it. I think three of the four ended up making it all the way down into the water, but they were never found. I guess there was, I think the next day, once people started finding out, like, okay, there's just these heads in bed, they're not actually people. They went looking for the prisoners, and they did see a body that was floating in the ocean, but a current swept it under the water before they could get it, and no bodies were recovered. So, one of the men, out of the four, didn't actually get through the whole attempt, so he ended up surviving. He was still in his cell. The other three were lost at sea and presumed drowned. If you're wondering how far it is to swim from the island to San Francisco, it is a 1.5-mile swim, which in all honesty isn't terrible if you're in very good shape, but with it being open water and all of the sea life that's out there and weather and waves, I can imagine that it would be a pretty treacherous adventure. I did find out that there is a triathlon called Escape from Alcatraz, and it's held once a year, and you can go to prove that you can actually swim from Alcatraz and survive. So that triathlon started in 1980, and it includes that 1.5-mile swim to San Francisco, then an 18-mile bike ride, and an 8-mile run. So if you're really up to it, perhaps you could give that triathlon a shot. So, we have talked about the history, we've talked about some of the famous or infamous prisoners that stayed on the island, and we also just talked a little bit about some of the escape attempts from the prison. I do have a picture of the fake heads that the four men made when they tried to escape out of their cells and take a raincoat raft across the ocean. So I'm posting that to my Instagram and Facebook accounts so you can check that out and get a glance at what those looked like. Surprisingly, they were pretty legit looking, given the fact that these prisoners didn't like have anything and they had to put together all of the things to make their escape with anything that they just had in the prison, which doesn't sound like a whole lot because they didn't have a lot of access to many things. It was actually pretty impressive. So now we're going to get into the creepy and the spooky, which is the so-called hauntings of Alcatraz. I know I've told you guys before that I watch a ton of Ghost Adventures. Love that TV show. I'm a nerd for it. But I've also found another TV show that I've been binging these days. It's called The Dead Files, and it involves a retired detective. His name is Steve DeShavi. And Amy Allen, who is a medium. And what they do is they go into locations and they stay separate. He, on the back end, does all of the research. So, and that he's known to do that. He was a detective. So he goes to, you know, talk to librarians and he interviews people and does all the research of the property, the location, the house, the prison, wherever they're going. And she does a walkthrough of the location without knowing any of this information. She just goes, they record her, and she talks about what she feels and sees. And then at the very end, they get together and compare their findings with each other, which I think is super fascinating because sometimes their stories line up almost exactly. And it's just pretty amazing to see all of the stuff she can pull out of these walkthroughs without knowing a single thing going into it. So the two of them end up going to Alcatraz. This actually was an episode from their very first season, and they have a ton of seasons, so it was like a really old episode, but it was still pretty good. I am going to talk through kind of what Amy did during her walkthrough, what she felt, what she heard, and then we're actually going to go through the facts of what Steve was able to find. So then you guys can kind of get a feel for kind of how they set up the episodes as well. So as soon as Amy enters Alcatraz, she immediately is like, wow, I hate it here. Sometimes she explains that the dead or the spirits like make her feel the pain that they experienced in real life. And the pain that she was feeling inside of Alcatraz was the worst of any of the investigations they had done up to that point. So she was really struggling. She was saying that the spirits were touching, poking, and pulling her hair. I guess they could also be seen as torturing the living, just kind of like being annoying and making people feel like they're kind of going crazy. She felt that there was a male spirit that maybe could have been a Satanist during his time alive. He definitely used to set fires, she said. He was an arsonist at one point in his life. And then there was another spirit who called himself Stan, and he was the one that kind of walked her through the prison and told her about all the things that happened there. There wasn't really a whole lot to go off of other than his name was Stan, but I guess he was the one that was trying to explain everything to her. She felt a lot of depression, despair. At one point, she even sat on the ground and was like crying. And I have seen tons of Dead Files episodes and I've never seen Amy cry. So I was like, oh shit, this is actually pretty insane. She then made her way over to the barber shop where she said she felt like there was a victim who was stabbed and killed. And she felt a sharp pain in her heart, like her chest area. And she said the person she was getting that had died, his name was Joey. One more person that Amy encountered was somebody that Stan and the other inmates apparently referred to as the Monkey Man. I guess he was crazy. He was insane. Nobody really liked him. He was so crazy that the guards had to actually move him out of like the general population area and put him in his own like solitary confinement cell just because he was so disruptive and loud, and he just didn't feel like he had his mind totally there. Like, they called him Monkey Man because he acted like an animal. So a cool part about these shows is at the end of her walkthrough, Amy has a sketch artist put together a couple of sketches of the spirits that she felt like she could interact with a decent amount, get an idea of who they were, what they looked like, etc. So she had the sketch artist draw Stan, who at this point we know nothing about him, only that his name is Stan. And then she drew a sketch of the Monkey Man that was shown to her. So we'll get back. I'll talk about the sketches a little bit more in a second. I'm going to jump over to what Steve was able to find out. So more history, more stories about the hauntings and things like that. So they got a call from a guy named Bob Davis. He was the reason why they actually went out to Alcatraz, because he had some questions and he wanted some answers. So he explained to Steve that he had gone on a tour of Alcatraz when he was 13 years old. And he was in the D block when the tour guide asked if any of the tourists would want to get into one of the solitary confinement cells to see what it felt like for the prisoners who were kept there. And he volunteered, which is a hard pass for me. I don't know how a 13-year-old could just be like, yeah, sign me up. You could never pay me enough to lock myself in one of those cells, but good for you, Bob. So he goes into the cell, which was cell 14 of D block. And the tour guide puts him in there, and there's actually two layers of doors they had to close. They had to close the actual gate, so like the bars, and then they close another thick layer of a door that shuts him in there and turns everything to just be completely black. There's no windows, there's nothing. He's literally just sitting in a black box. So the tour guide is like, yo, Bob, how are you doing in there? Are you good? And Bob's like, yeah, bro, I'm fine. That's not a literal quote. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Anyways, he says, sure, yeah, bro, I'm fine, whatever. Then he said he felt a sharp grab on his shoulder, like it felt like a hand grabbed him. And at the same time, he hears a whisper in his ear that says, you're mine. Eventually, I guess, the tour guide lets him out of his cell, but he didn't tell anybody about the experience, not even his own family. He was just like embarrassed and shook to his core. I would have literally peed myself and been like hyperventilating. So I don't know how Bob can just walk out of there and be like, yeah, that was weird. That really messed me up, but I couldn't talk about it for years. So yeah, that was his experience. And he wanted to understand better as to who could have done that, what the history of that cell was, things like that. So then Steve does what he does best, and he starts interviewing some more people to try and get more details on any more experiences people might have had, and learn the history a bit more about the cell. So he interviews another person that's named Sam, and that person had also experienced being pushed and a whisper in his ear. And a third person was interviewed and felt that he was just overwhelmed with sadness to the point of almost crying, which to him was very weird because he said he never cried, so he was shook by that. So Steve's like, great, okay, more and more stories, but I need to start learning the facts now. So Steve visits a historian to learn more about cell block D and discovers that that was the block where they hosted the worst of the worst prisoners. Worst of the extreme worst, you guys. Like, they're sending the worst of the worst to Alcatraz. So imagine the type of people that they were putting into cell block D. Cell D14 actually has such an intense history that it is known to be one of the most haunted cells in the block, because it was said that a prisoner was strangled to death in that cell. And there were rumors that went around that said they were strangled by a demon. Now, remember, these cells are solitary confinement cells. You don't have roommates. They put you in there. They lock you in there, and it's just dark. So it's not like this person had another roommate who strangled them. They got strangled and died somehow by themselves in that cell. So Steve then goes to speak to an old guy named Robert, who actually used to be an inmate at Alcatraz. He was serving time for bank robberies, which actually, when Steve was talking to Robert, I just kept thinking, how cool would it be if Robert was your grandpa and you could just sit down with him and be like, hey, grandpa, tell me about, you know, your childhood and growing up. And he could just tell you like, oh, yeah, well, I had to spend time in Alcatraz because I robbed banks. Anyway, aside from being a G, Robert had some things to discuss about his time at Alcatraz. He just recalled his time there as being very regimented. Basically, they got up at 6:30 every morning, had about 20 minutes to get their cell ready before going to breakfast. Then everybody stood in lines. Nobody spoke to each other. They lined up, I think, 12 times a day for counts, and they had to line up for work, and they had to line up to come back to the cell. He actually ended up spending 29 days in one of the dark hole cells in Block D. And he said they would just made him, like, it was just, he was naked. They just said, you don't need clothes to stay in this cell. They made him sit in there in the dark for 29 days. He said during his time in that cell, he was fed bread and water every day. But every third day, he would actually get a meal of potatoes, peas, and a raw onion to eat. And that was how he kept track of how long he stayed in that cell, was the potatoes and the onion. But God bless you, Robert. You made it out. You're here. And I hope you're living a great life. Then our guy, Steve, he's not done yet. He's still interviewing. He went and talked to George, who was a former Alcatraz guard. And he was actually involved in one of the brutal attacks and murders that took place in the prison. On his first day of his job at Alcatraz, he was in the barber shop and two prisoners were in there. One of them was cutting the other one's hair. But then all of a sudden a fight broke out and the man holding the scissors ended up stabbing the other one in the heart, the lungs, and the throat. George had to hop on top of both of them to break it up, but by that point, the victim in the fight was killed. The victim's name? Joseph. Does that ring any bells? It should, because if you remember when Amy did her walkthrough, she recalled that there was a murder in the barbershop, and the victim's name was Joey. Anyway, the story doesn't end there. So we've got Joseph, he's dead on the ground, and the other inmate had just finished stabbing him to death, and that inmate decides that he is going to lean over, kiss Joseph on the head, and whisper, "I love you." So that pretty much sums up the type of people that are staying in this prison. Literally just complete psychopaths. So at the end of that story, George, the guard, he said, "Needless to say, there were no more shears in the barbershop after that." Well, no kidding, George. You probably shouldn't have been giving these people shears to begin with, but that's not my call. The last person that was interviewed by Steve was another guard whose name was Patrick, and he remembered the Birdman. So that crazy guy that came from Kansas and spent 17 years in Alcatraz, he said that he was certified psychotic. He would try to rape the other inmates. So anytime they had to get the Birdman out of his cell, they had to ensure that every other inmate was in their cell and securely locked in there, because he would try to attack and rape any inmate that he could get his hands on. And in his lifetime, the Birdman was said to have killed 5 people. One of those was an officer at Leavenworth. So at this point, it's the end of the episode. Steve and Amy sit down together to go through what they found. And the most interesting part I found out of this episode was her sketch that she had done of the Birdman. Steve actually brings up a photo of what the Birdman looked like in real life, and it is uncanny, the resemblance between the two. So it is just insane to think that she actually experienced him and saw him during her walkthrough. And it turns out that it was just this crazed, psychotic man who actually did spend time in Alcatraz and actually spent one of the longest amounts of time in the prison when it was open. And I will be posting that photo comparison to my social sites, so make sure to check out my Instagram or Facebook if you want to see exactly what I'm talking about. It's insane. I think you guys are gonna be blown away by it. So lastly, I just did a little bit of side research on more ghost stories and other things that have happened at Alcatraz. So one of these was called the Ghost Woman of Alcatraz, and it was just a lady that was captured in a photo by a British couple that was taking a tour of the island, and they weren't trying to capture anything specific. They were just tourists, and they were taking pictures. And you can clearly see there's a woman in this photo, and I'm also posting that to my social pages so you guys can see what that looks like as well. The very first warden of the prison, James Johnston, claimed that he had heard and saw many strange things during his time there. One of the times he heard a woman screaming. So there may in fact be a spirit of a woman somewhere in the island, but it's unknown as to who she was or where she came from. It's also said that you can hear Al Capone's banjo playing music. So apparently they let him play the banjo, and they let him play it in the shower room. I guess that was one place that he could play and not bother other people. So you can hear the banjo music playing still when you walk around. And of course, the last but not least, cell 14D, so the one we discussed earlier, that is known as one of the most haunted places in the prison. It's said to always be freezing cold, even in the midst of the summer, and it elicits a feeling of sudden intensity. Some people believe ghosts linger in cells 11, 12, and 13 of the same block. So, which wouldn't be surprising considering all of the crazy stuff that has happened there. It's probably just like a whole row of bad juju. So there you have it. That is what I have for Alcatraz today. Very long history, even though the history of itself being a federal prison wasn't that long. They were only open as a federal prison for, 30 years or so. But the amount of crazy stuff that has happened there is just off the charts. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to me talk about Alcatraz today, some of the escape attempts, some of the interviews that were done. Hopefully in the next upcoming episodes, we can start diving into actual murder cases again. So stay tuned. And maybe someday I'll come around and we can do an episode or two on some of the inmates that were at Alcatraz. It'd be really interesting to get to learn more about their history, their upbringing, and exactly what kind of crimes they committed. So my moral of the story for this week is not to give scissors to highly unstable inmates, especially if they're at Alcatraz. If you want to see any of the photos that I'm posting in relation to this story, you can follow me on Instagram at Macabre America Podcast or on Facebook at Macabre America Podcast. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or you just want to say hi, send me an email at macabreamericapodcast@gmail.com. Sources today are history.com, the episode of Dead Files from season one, it's actually episode 8. Arcadia Publishing had an article called The History of Alcatraz, America's Most Haunted Prison, and lastly, National Park Service Museum Collections at The Rock, Alcatraz Island. If you're enjoying my podcast, be sure to give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and hope to hear from you guys and look forward to creating more podcasts here in the near future. So stay safe and stay listening, my beautiful people. I'll see you for the next episode of Macabre America.